Let me tell you a story about a village that is built with his glory. No sorrow in this place, just lift your voice and say,
good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Village Celebration Radio Show. I'm Vicki Newton. So glad you have joined us tonight. What a day in South Carolina. Can you believe it? The legislature in South Carolina voting to remove the Confederate flag from all state buildings. Let's get right to it immediately. Joining us tonight is the Reverend James Johnson, who is the president of the South Carolina branch of the National Action Network. He is a friend of the late Reverend Pinckney, who, as you'll recall, was massacred several weeks ago at Emmanuel AME Church, along with eight of his members. Elder Johnson, thank you for joining us, sir.
Thank you for having me.
What do you say?
It's a defining moment.
It is indeed for South Carolina and the country in general. What did you all say? Because the vote did not occur until in the wee hours of the morning.
Right. You know, upstate South Carolina is part of South Carolina that actually think that the Confederate flag is the history. So it's a strong bond up in the state, upstate South Carolina. So we can understand that also. But the Charleston 9 that died, I think it kind of brought emotions to the people, and mostly in the whole state of South Carolina. There were a few people who didn't want the flag down, but the majority of people did, so we thank God for that.
And the entire country has had its eyes fixed on South Carolina for quite a while. The Walter Scott shooting, it seemed, kind of started
exactly
things for you guys there. And then, of course, this horrific shooting at Emmanuel AME Church, then President Barack Obama's speech, perhaps the most defining speech he's given on race. You were in the church that day, and what were your thoughts at the service of your friend and State Senator Pinckney?
Well, it brought emotional feelings. I think most of the people in there actually were moved by our president's speech. And I think that speech kind of brought the people together across America also, because what he talked about is a conversation that needed to be talked about, you know, racial division and racism and discrimination. That needed to be talked about. Now I think we can have a great conversation about that. And what really brought Mr. Obama to tears is the family that forgives Mr. Dylan and Ruth for killing their loved one. And there is no country in the history of America that actually came and tell the people across the world that we forgive you, him, for killing their loved one. And I think that can move the whole country.
When you first spoke with us the day after the massacre at Emmanuel AME Church, you talked about forgiveness and healing even at that moment. And so all around the country, there has been some pushback along the lines of forgiveness, and some in our community saying, forgiveness, yes, but we also have a fundamental problem with race. And so for many, the Confederate flag was a symbol of the hatred and the division that this country has suffered for generations. What do you say to those who are still having a hard time forgiving and ready to start the healing, with believing that there's still some fundamental issues that have not been resolved?
That's why I actually divide the race, and it divides the South from the North. And we don't need anything that's going to divide us. That flag is a symbol of hate. When I think about that flag, I think of oppression that my ancestors had when that flag was flown to keep them in slavery, the Jim Crow law. So to a lot of people, that flag is a deep, deep depression, history that dark part of history that we don't want to visit again. But in South Carolina, you got to understand, South Carolina will first state they want to secede from America, from the Union. So we have that deep history. South Carolina also, Charleston was 57% black at one time, slave at one time. And the Citadel itself, the college we have that today came to contain slaves. The monument that we have in Charleston, also on the grounds of the State House, reminds us of slavery. So the state here has a lot of healing. And the flag is down, but, you know, we 49th in education, you know. Our governor refused to take the Medicaid extension, so we got over 150,000 people that don't have health care. So we have a lot of work we have to do in this state, and mm-hmm. we have to get busy in doing it.
Mm-hmm. A lot of work to do maybe in South Carolina, but also in a lot of states in our country. And you point out that the flag is down because the governor moved very quickly to sign that legislation into law. I see one of the turning points in this march to remove the flag as that Saturday when Brittany Newsom scaled that flagpole and removed it.
All right. She did, and I commend her for that. You know, she had a lot of courage to do that. But I think the governor had a change of heart when she came to Charleston to visit with the family. And she went to every one of those funerals, and she said she would never be the same again.
Mm-hmm.
And I applaud her for that. And she want to work closely with the community in changing a lot of stuff that needs to be changed in the state of South Carolina. What we want in South Carolina is the races to come together, the love and the peace and the harmony. But we want to make this a beacon for other states to mm-hmm. follow, that we can all work together. We can disagree, but we can work together and make it happen for everybody. And that's what we want in the state of South Carolina.
I think that is a very noble and ambitious goal that would really rewrite the history of South Carolina, given the fact that Charleston was the seat of the Confederacy. You point out that Governor Nikki Haley attended all 9 of the services. What do you think your friend, the late Reverend Pinckney, would say about today's vote?
I would say, you know, sometimes good people die to change the whole world. And I would say Reverend Pinckney would say that he didn't mind dying if we can get the whole world to change, to bring about love and peace and forgiveness around the whole world. That's something to die for. I see what the late Dr. King said. If there's not something that worth dying for, a man is not fit to live. And that's how I feel about it also. So, you know, giving your life for something that's going to change the whole world means a whole lot to me. And I work with Senator Pinckney, and I do believe he felt the same way.
Very eloquently put. All of us saw the pictures the day that South Carolinians walked across the bridge, some 20,000, it was estimated. Where do you go from here?
From here, we've had a lot of groups, white and black groups, want to come together to work together in my organization. I really didn't have white members in the organization. Now I have people wanting to join the organization. So,
I don't want to interrupt you, but you just said that you have had, in the wake of the massacre, members join who are white. And how did you all receive that, and how did they approach you to ask for inclusion?
Well, what I think is that they misunderstand the organization as a civil rights organization. They misunderstand it. The organization is all about love and all about helping people and wrong and right. I mean, correcting wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And once they find out the mission statement of the organization, was easy transition into the organization because it's not a hateful organization. So
mm-hmm.
once they understand it, it was more than happy for them to accept the organization. And we can work together. You know, just right now I'm on the State House ground. There's just as many white folks out here wanting their flag down than black. So that sends a message around the world. You know, it's all about love and it's all about peace and all about getting along.
Mm-hmm.
And if we can really pass that message across America, I think America can change.
That is a really good legacy, and so we congratulate you and the village on your part and the part of all of those who worked to have that flag removed. Thank you for joining us, Elder James Johnson, president of the South Carolina branch of the National Action Network. We appreciate you, sir.
We appreciate you. Thank you very much. Love you all.
Back at you.
And the morning crew.
Whatever action you do, it.
Oh, please.
Can
Lord,
you say that
Lord,
one
I
more time?
Lord, I done passed out.
Really?
Here's how Frank Ray
said. Frank Ray.
Frank Ray, if you ask to talk, don't get up here and sing. And if you ask to sing, don't get up here and
don't
talk.
Don't get up and talk.
He said just do what you ask to do and go sit down.
Charging your morning.
Okay, motivational moment.
Yes, ma'am.
You know, sometimes everyone is not ready for all you have to offer.
Oh, my God.
And
yes, God.
I know Nisha didn't
drop that one. You dropped that one like you done dropped that one before. Like you done said that before to somebody.
You dropped the bomb.
Oh, like that.
I mean, she dropped that one. I mean, but I know when you did it then, you dropped the mic and walked out, didn't you?
It's all for the kingdom, and it's all Joynet.
Your boat is a piece of junk.
Yeah, but they don't make them like this anymore.
Gee, I wonder why.
What?
You know, we could have rented a nice boat or a party barge right here at the park.
Huh? Rent?
Yeah, and your tent is moldy, too.
Moldy? What are you, the boat and tent police?
We could have stayed in one of the park yurts. You know, big, roomy tent already set up right on the lake.
Hmm.
Yeah, DeGray Lake Resort State Park has lots of things for rent.
Instant campsite, eh?
Why not? Or we could have stayed at the park. Lodge, enjoyed the restaurant, the heated pool.
Do I do anything right?
Well, yeah, you married my sister.
Now I remember why I let you in my boat.
So the next time we and the girls get together here at DeGray Lake Resort, you let me make the plans?
Plan away.
Well, if we ever get back to shore, I will. Online at DeGray.com.
Sponsored by this station, the Arkansas Broadcasters Association, and your Arkansas State Parks. My park, your park, our parks.
A quick tip from Hansel's Cooking Vegan. Rev up your metabolism by increasing protein and fiber intake. Increase your daily activity by walking, running, or dancing. Read labels. Look for items with high fiber, low sodium, carbs, and sugars. Limit fast foods. Self-prepared meals help to limit fat and sodium intake. Combine these tips to avoid excessive weight gain. Get more healthy tips at Hansel's CookInVegan.com. Change your diet to change your life.
Welcome back. We are so glad you're with us for another edition of the Village Celebration. You know, we love the Village Verse, and we are delighted to have joining us today Pastor Cedric Jones from Friendly Temple Missionary Baptist Church in St. Louis. Pastor Jones, or Pastor Ced, as we know you, thank you for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
What is the verse for us today? Take us to the Word.
Today what the Lord laid on my heart was Psalms 118:24. And it reads, "This is the day which the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it." That's the verse.
We will rejoice and be glad in it. It sounds so simple, but there are days where I don't know that I feel like rejoicing. What do you do on those days?
Yeah. On those days, you know, you really have to really think about and meditate on really who is in control of the day. The three things that really come to mind when I think about a verse like this, that we ought to acknowledge the Lord on the day, because this day is not promised to us. He has blessed us to have a day.
Amen.
We take so much for granted, but each day is a gift from God. We acknowledge him on today. We adore him on today. And we appreciate him on today.
Mm.
And those are the three main things that I think about. And the circumstances really don't determine all of that. It's really about who we serve, who we know, and who's in absolute control of the day. That's what it's really all about.
Oh, I think
we're going to have those days.
I think that's beautiful.
We're going to have those ups and downs.
So we are to separate the circumstances from who God is.
Absolutely, because God is, you know, he's the source and sovereign of the day. You know, he is in absolute control of the day and all that happens in that day. No matter what we go through, what we encounter, what we experience, everything must first filter through his hand. And when we know that he has the day and we are in that day that he has gifted us with, that we know that we're in his hand as well and that all shall be well. We're in a win-win-win situation.
Mm-hmm. So,
and then when we think about it, go ahead.
No, you go ahead. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say that when we think about that, you know, and then when we get to, you know, the psalmist says, this is the day the Lord has made. So we acknowledge him on this day. And then it says, let us, or rather, we will rejoice. That's a determination. You know,
mm-hmm.
you make a choice. It's not, I might. But we will. We are determined. We shall. We'll make mm-hmm. that choice to rejoice in the day, which means that we adore him. We think,
mm-hmm.
we lay all that other stuff aside, and then we focus on him and think about all that he is and all that, you know, all that he's about, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so we adore him.
Mm-hmm.
We will rejoice. We will worship. We will praise him today because today is not promised to us. And yet, by his grace and mercy, we are spared. We are preserved in order to draw closer to him and to get it right today. We own God. You know, every, you know, in Lamentation it says his mercies, you know,
uh-huh.
are renewed every morning. Great is his faithfulness. So
mm-hmm.
each day that we get up, it's a blessing. And by the way, this particular psalm, the backdrop of it, you know, it really has to do with, you know, the Exodus experience. It's a day of deliverance. And,
mm-hmm.
and this whole psalm speaks of God's everlasting mercy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that mercy is giving us what we don't deserve and not giving us what we do deserve.
Mm-hmm.
And that's mercy.
Mm-hmm. And that is such a precious gift. And I like that because it puts it in a perspective that at least I can understand it. Maybe it will help others as well. How many times do you receive a gift and then act as if you didn't want it? So this day is a
right.
gift. How dare we act as if we don't want this gift?
Amen. Amen. Because one thing about a gift, we don't have to receive a gift. You know, people don't have to do anything for you.
Amen.
You know, and a gift is just that. You know, you know, you don't earn the gift. You know, a gift is not owed you.
Uh-huh.
But a gift is something that is given freely.
Mm-hmm.
Because someone has a heart to give you a gift. And God, you know, his mercy and grace,
mm-hmm.
we didn't earn that mercy and grace.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't owe us anything. But by his everlasting love and mercy towards us, he gives us the gift based on,
mm-hmm.
Born from his love for us. And so that's where it brings us to the point of appreciating the day.
Mm-hmm.
This is the day the Lord has made. We acknowledge him. We will rejoice. We will praise him. We adore him. And we will be glad in it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we appreciate the Lord. We're thankful. We have an attitude of gratitude, a heart of gladness instead of sadness.
Mm-hmm.
So when you're glad, when you get a gift, normally you're glad to receive it.
Amen.
You're thankful. You appreciate it. So when we have an attitude like that, and when we think about how, you know, that life is so short, you know, and we look around, you know, I mean, you know, just a few years ago, you know, I had dark hair, you know. Mm-hmm. Now I look in the mirror, I got some gray in there, you know. Time goes by so fast.
It does.
I look at my child, you know, seemed like I just held him the other day, and now mm-hmm. he's looking me straight in my eye, you
right.
know.
Right.
The time moves along, it waits on no man. So, you know, each minute, each moment we have, you know, it is a testimony to God's everlasting, steadfast love toward us. Mm-hmm. And so that's something to appreciate and
it
be glad
is.
About.
It is, and to be glad in it. Boy, you blessed me. I appreciate that. That's a beautiful verse for us in the village. Pastor Cedric Jones from Friendly Temple Missionary Baptist Church in St. Louis. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
And we'll be right back.
Inspiring gospel on your desktop, laptop, or go mobile 24 hours a day.
Yeah, let me go ahead and get off of here and get my motivation a moment.
Featuring the JC Loves Morning Show.
I'm going through social media and all these GoFundMe
yes.
accounts to bury somebody.
Yes.
I'm sorry, but that just really is, it's just utterly ridiculous. If you got a mama and she owns Social Security and she wasn't, you know, in a position to take care of her business, put all your life insurance policy.
Come on.
Up on yours, because it's just utterly ridiculous,
uh-huh.
shameful, it's embarrassing, and it just puts you out there bad. It really, really does, and it doesn't have to be like that, because you need to take care of your family members, and you need to have yourself in a position to where they ain't got to stand out there on the corner and
Nisha.
Beg to bury
Nisha.
Your behind.
Nisha.
They ain't got to beg.
Nisha.
They ain't got to put the house on to bury you. It's just ridiculous, JC.
All right. Well, that's it.
I'm sorry.
Take a deep breath.
I'm so sorry.
At the new joinetradio.com.
Okay, you guys, it's time to plan our vacation.
Okay, Mommy.
Okay. This summer, we're going to play in our own backyard.
We're staying home? No way.
In our yard? Really?
No, we're going to play in Arkansas's backyard this summer. We're going to visit our state parks.
All right.
Yeah.
Oh, count me in. I'll have less driving to do and more time to fish and golf, swim, relax.
Uh-huh. So come here. Gather around. We're going to plan our vacation together.
For real?
Awesome.
Here we go. ArkansasStateParks.com. Ta-da! There, we're at the Arkansas State Parks website.
Ooh, look, I want to go there.
I want to do that.
Me too.
Just look at all there is to do. You know, playing in our own backyard in our state parks this summer is a great idea. Less travel time and more time for fun.
Sponsored by this station, the Arkansas Broadcasters Association, and your Arkansas State Parks.
Making vacation memories.
My daughter made me this cute bottle with a little water in it. Until I can quit smoking, I can stop flicking cigarette butts and put them in here when I drive. They're litter, plain and simple. This is my way to help keep Arkansas beautiful.
For every ton of paper we recycle, we save 17 trees. I really like trees. Recycling helps keep Arkansas beautiful.
A message from the station.
The Arkansas Broadcasters Association.
And keep Arkansas beautiful.
My wife told me to get a hobby. My doctor told me to exercise. I listened to me. Grow flowers, vegetables, and in my own way, keep an Arkansas beautiful.
For every ton of paper we recycle, we save 17 trees. I really like trees. Recycling helps keep Arkansas beautiful.
A message from the station.
The Arkansas Broadcasters Association.
And keep Arkansas beautiful.
It is Thursday. You know that means the Village Celebration Radio Show. Thank you so much for joining us. If you just joined us, you may remember last week when we talked with our village doctor, Dr. Diane Marshall. She and her family were getting away for the 4th of July, and I encouraged her to get a 4th of July outfit, which let's find out if she did. Dr. Di, welcome to the Village. Did
Hi,
you
Vicky.
Did you get a 4th of July outfit?
I must admit, I did not get an outfit.
I see.
But mm-hmm. I was patriotic. How about that?
Okay. Uh-huh. Well, I guess if you wave a flag or you eat a red, white, and blue cupcake, that makes you patriotic. You know, I have this thing about the 4th. I feel like it signals the zenith of summer. And from there, it's just kind of downhill, which means pretty soon it's back to school for students. And
that's
a lot
correct.
Of parents mm-hmm. will start preparing their youngest ones with immunizations. What's that process like these days, and what do you recommend for the parents as they prepare their children to go to school?
Wonderful question. Well, first of all, let's just say get the kids their physicals. If they haven't had their physicals, go ahead and start scheduling them. This is the time of year our office becomes really busy with back-to-school physicals. And depending on the state you're in, immunizations are going to be required. So parents need to find out from their family physician or their pediatrician what immunizations their child will need to go back to school. And it's always better to start now than to wait until September when they won't be able to even enroll if they haven't had some of their child immunizations.
That is so important. That sounds to me far more important than getting the 64 box of crayons and the cutest backpack. I mean, those things matter. They really do matter. But most importantly is being prepared physically for back to school.
Absolutely. Most states will require that they have not only just the immunizations of infants, but by the time they start school, they probably need a second dose of MMR, which is a measles, mumps, and rubella vaccination. As you know, there has been an outbreak of measles in the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
I think, according to the CDC, from January until June, we've had several states affected with a measles outbreak. Now, most of these come from children or parents who decided not to vaccinate their children. But we in Louisiana still require a second dose of MMR, and in most places we also require two doses of varicella, which will prevent chickenpox.
So it's important to know what the standards are for your state. So that means the parents will need to check with the health department, check with the school, check with their doctors, see what their children need. You mentioned the measles outbreak, which is a little bit surprising given the fact that the country had measles under control until there was this report that indicated that measles was a contributing factor to some developmental delays. But all of that research was debunked, wasn't it?
Well, the problem was that parents were thinking that some of the preservatives in the vaccine may have contributed to autism.
Mm-hmm.
We have not found anything to link autism with any vaccination.
Mm-hmm.
And as a result of that, they chose not to vaccinate. Around 15 months is when a child will get, or around 12 months is when they get their first MMR. And so generally, the children with autism, you don't begin to notice any behavioral changes until around 2. So for whatever reason, they were linking the MMR vaccine possibly with autism. Again, let me just point out, there has been no studies to show that there is anything in any of the vaccines that can connect it to autism. So for goodness sake, get vaccinated. Get the children vaccinated.
Absolutely, because if your child is not vaccinated and develops the disease, then other children are at risk. And again, that research has been upended, just debunked. Literally dismissed as wrong.
Absolutely. I mean, for a long time, the United States had very few cases of reported measles, mumps, or rubella since vaccinations began. And then all of a sudden, we just saw this sudden increase again. So there's no link, there's no connection. Get the vaccination. Check with your health department regarding the appropriate ages for the vaccinations, and make sure you check with your school and see whether or not your child needs a new, an updated physical exam, because a lot of times they will have what they need on the physical form. You take that to your primary care physician, have them completed, and everyone is able to pull up your vaccination history if it's been documented appropriately in a state system.
Okay, that sounds good. Now for the big kids. You know, I read the study today about stress eating. Guilty.
Mm-hmm.
When something's going on that's a little bit wonky in my life, you can find me just throwing back Hostess cupcakes. No, I'm kidding. I'm not kidding. Hostess cupcakes. Hostess cupcakes, milk, pound cake, any dessert, I'm eating that. And that's not good. So what do we do?
Well, you know, for most stress eating, let me just say for children, yeah, I don't know if they stress eat as much as adults do.
Right.
They do pick the wrong or make the wrong choices. But if children stay active, you know, get out and play, they can tolerate that a little bit better than an adult. And if we're stress eating, we really need to get down to figure out what is the problem, what is causing me to choose this over that, or is there something else going on? Is this something emotional? Is it more than emotional? Is there something that's going on that's increasing your appetite? So I think for kids, it's a little bit different. They don't stress eat as much as we do.
No, I don't think so. And they can eat ice cream sandwiches all day and pretty much be okay. But those of us who are over, let's say, 40 or 25 shouldn't necessarily do that. We have in the studio with us DeCarlo Collins, who is the host of a radio show and a blogger. And DeCarlo, do you ever stress eat?
A lot. Now, today, more than anything in the world, just trying to... whatever it is that's going on in my life, I always, when I get home and I'm trying to think of things to do, for some reason, Pillsbury Doughboy has been my friend.
Really?
So, yes. I turn the oven on at 350 and I put them in the oven for 8 minutes.
Biscuits?
No, the cookies.
Oh, the cookies.
Yes. That is my after 9 o'clock snack.
After 9 o'clock, Dr. Die.
Yeah, I don't do too well. Then I feel guilty. Yeah, and I feel guilty, and I go to the track meet, track field at 6 a.m. in the morning. So,
after you've had two dozen cookies
and a whole gallon of milk.
Uh huh. Because of course, if the cookie is warm straight out of the oven, you have to have a glass of cold milk.
Yes.
So, what's your advice for those of us who are stress eating? Get a life? No.
Find a hobby.
Well, if you're asking me, you know, a lot of times there's going to be a trigger, right? There are triggers that make you want to stress eat.
Like mortgages.
Yeah, financial pressure.
Right.
Maybe something going on in a relationship.
Exactly, yeah. Exactly. Oh. He didn't call when he said he would. I mean, all those sorts of things.
Yes. All of those things can lead to stress eating. So identify your trigger.
Identify it. Okay. All right, and then you can manage it.
Well, I don't think you can just manage that easily.
Okay.
You identify it and then try to figure out what is it about that trigger that's causing you to want to eat whatever it is.
Mm.
And kind of deal with that. Deal with the emotions that are triggering or causing the trigger. And then maybe once you get a handle on those emotions, you can kind of curb it some.
Okay, that means eating 4 or 5 as opposed to 10. Okay, Dr. Diane Marshall, our Village Doctor, thank you for joining us. Get your children immunized, and this is for myself, back away from the Hostess Cupcakes. We'll be right back. Exactly. Thank you, Dr. Diane. We'll be right back. When we come back, we'll talk with DeCarlo about the other big story, Bill Cosby. What do you think? You can call us at 1-855-525-5683. 1-855-525-5683. We'll talk about Mr. Cosby and Jeb Bush saying that what American workers need to do is just work a few more hours.
Radio.com.
It's me.
Lord have mercy.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Hello, everybody.
Where you been on retirement?
I know.
You know.
You been up there trying to help Rachel Doze off?
Because that's the lady with the NAACP, right?
Yeah.
Rachel.
Yeah, that's
doesn't look
Say what?
That's her name, Rachel Luxembourg, right?
Okay, but well, no, that's not quite it. But never mind. Don't worry about it. We understand who you're talking about.
If y'all don't get a straight jacket and put that baby somewhere.
Featuring the J.C. Loves Morning Show.
Here's the question that's actually out there. She says, if I'm getting the job done and accomplishing goals, does it matter what race I am?
Here's the answer. No, it doesn't. So why did you choose a different race? Since it doesn't matter what race you are, then why did you choose the race that you're not? You could have done the exact same thing and been white. You can be who you are and do what you're doing. It's all right. It's okay. Can you understand that? Y'all pray for me. Y'all pray for the preacher.
I'm about to ask you to calm down out here.
At the new joinetradio.com.
No, oh, I can't believe that.
Nice.
I hit it perfect.
You're just standing too close to the ball. After you hit it.
Hey, you had one in the rough, two in the trees.
We're keeping score?
Yeah.
Maybe a new course would lower your handicap. Mm. Arkansas State Parks has two golf courses.
Yeah?
We should play them.
Tell me more.
The Gray Lake Resort's golf course is perfect for us. 18 holes overlooking the lake, and the wives will enjoy DeGray's Island Lodge.
Sweet.
Yeah, then we'll play the ridges at Village Creek.
Village Creek State Park has a course?
Yeah, here it's outstanding. 27 holes, Andy Dye design,
wow.
PGA caliber championship layout, and dramatic elevation changes since it's on Crowley's Ridge.
Wow.
And the girls will enjoy the cabins.
How do we get on these courses?
Well, they're in our state park, so they're public courses.
Yeah.
ArkansasStateParks.com has details and photos.
Now let's finish this round and book a tee time.
Oh, yeah.
Sponsored by this station, the Arkansas Broadcasters Association, and your Arkansas State Parks.
I'd like to take 30 seconds to give pickup drivers a brief lesson in rollover physics. It has to do with a vehicle's static stability factor, which is defined as one half the truck width divided by the height of the center of gravity. The larger the factor, the more lateral acceleration required to cause the force of gravity to pass through a vehicle's pivot point. In layman's terms, pickups are twice as likely to roll over than cars. Unfortunately, we can't change the laws of physics, but we can change your odds of survival. Buckle up in your truck.
Sponsored by the Arkansas Highway Safety Office, the Arkansas Broadcasters Association, and this station.
Hello. You may know me. I kill over 200 people each year in Arkansas. I could be driving any one of the next 10 cars you see on the road. I'm the drunk driver, and I'm headed your way.
If you're hit by a drunk driver, your best protection, as always, is your safety belt. And if you're the one driving drunk, please pull over, pass the keys, and save a life.
Sponsored by the Arkansas Highway Safety Office, the Arkansas Broadcasters Association, and this drunk driver who learned the hard way.
You got it. The Joy Network.
Everybody is talking about Bill Cosby and the admission in the deposition from 2005 when a Temple University employee accused him of taking advantage of her, giving her a drug, and then she blacked out and she didn't exactly recall what happened, but she said when she came to, she was in disarray. That was in 2005, and as you know, last year there was a revival of those charges that through the years, Bill Cosby had drugged a number of women and essentially raped them. Well, the Associated Press sued to have those sealed documents opened, and it was revealed that in a deposition, Mr. Cosby admitted that he had bought some drugs to use to have sex with women he liked. So, DeCarlo, everybody is talking about this, and you know, when the allegations surfaced again, because these were not new allegations. They were reignited last year by a comedian in the Philadelphia area, and they seem to have taken on a life of their own. There was so much pushback. People said, oh, are you kidding me? There's no way Bill Cosby, Mr. Huxtable, Fat Albert, Mr. Jell-O Pudding Pops did this. What do you think now?
It's kind of like what Jill Scott said, and she said this in a Twitter account, that this is a man that she loved and adored and respected, and now she was wrong. She defended this man, just like a host of other people. Like
a lot
Felicia
of people defended
Felicia
him.
Rashad, mm-hmm. Raven Simone, Keisha Knight Pulliam, all those people.
Whoopi Goldberg.
Yes, Whoopi. All these people defended him, and then when he finally came out and told the truth and said, yes, this is what I did, it threw a lot of people off because this is Bill Cosby, like you said, this is Dr. William C. Cosby. This is not Mike Tyson, Chris Tucker. This is not Chris Brown. This is not any of those people that has been in situations like this. But, you know, the funny thing about it is most of these people got forgiven. Remember, Kirk Franklin had an issue back in like 2003, 2002, around that range, where he came out and said he was addicted to pornography. And a lot of people criticized him. And it was funny how they forgave him later on. And I think the same thing is going to happen to Bill Cosby. I think right now we're just in shock because he is the iconic man that he's always been. He was the celebrity father that every young boy wanted.
Mm-hmm.
He was the guy that brought us Fat Albert and all these jokes. He made everybody say Jell-O Pudding Pops was great or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But now it's like he's a running joke. He is. It's a running joke.
It is.
Now the allegations that came out last year are going to resurface again. And we're going to look at him totally different now. They have pulled his shows. I mean,
even Bounce TV, which is an African-American network, pulled the Cosby Show from its rotation.
And it changes, and it does. It really changes the way we look at him now. And what are we saying to our children that watch, that grew up watching this show every single day? You got to remember, he brought us the Cosby Show, A Different World. Then he came back a few years later and brought us the Cosby Show again, but in a different format. This is the man that built the legacy off of teaching us how to be men and women in our own community, standing up for certain things that we couldn't stand up for during his time frame. He changed this culture, and now what do we say to our children on this point, that this man right here popped a pill to this woman and...
to numerous women.
Numerous.
Mm-hmm.
And we thought it was a joke when it was, what's her name? Janet Dixon.
Janice Dickerson.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Dickerson. We thought it was a joke with Beverly Johnson. But now, these are things that are standing out right now, and that's scary.
Well, he admitted it. It does raise a number of questions, but you're right. Bill Cosby's legacy began many, many years ago when African-American actors were not allowed access to primetime television. He was one of the first, if not the first. And so I do understand our community being reluctant to believe the allegations, but now they have been substantiated by Mr. Cosby himself. It also raises the question, though, how is it that one man can say, no, I didn't, and 20-plus women can say, yes, he did?
Because,
and the women are blamed.
Because it's Bill Cosby. It's like any other situation that you ever seen in your life. Let's go back to, what was it, 1993, Mike Tyson was in the room with the young lady.
Mm-hmm.
And the young lady got blamed for being in that room with him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's the exact same thing.
You know, that's a very interesting conundrum, I guess. It's baffling why... it's so much harder for our society to believe a woman when she accuses a man of misconduct. Why, generally speaking, he is innocent and she's not.
And that's a strange thing. But you look at even the things we look at today, even in any relationships that we see right now. And, you know, it's kind of strange where sometimes the woman get blamed for certain things that the men do. Even though the man does sometimes do a lot of things that really causes these actions to occur. But we look at Bill Cosby, and the one thing we look at is he's a millionaire. He's a millionaire of...
many, many, many times.
Yes. And most people look at, oh, they're just trying to get his money.
That was the accusation leveled against the women last year. Oh, they're gold diggers. They're lying. They're this, they're that.
But it also goes back to the history of those women, too. And we have to look at Janice Dickerson was not, you know, your everyday, just average, good woman. She was a woman that looked as a gold digger. Beverly Johnson was also looked at in her history as the same way. So that's what they was looking at.
But, you know, I have to just say right there, regardless of a woman's history.
And that's where we have to go.
If she says no, it's no.
It's no. No is no.
And then you bring a drug in as well.
That just
See,
shows.
That's the question that now must be answered. Will charges be filed against Bill Cosby? The statute of limitations has expired on most of those cases, but there is one that is recent enough that there may be criminal charges. And have you heard within the last hours about the movement that's gathering steam for President Obama to strip Bill Cosby of his Presidential Medal of Freedom, which was awarded by George Bush, I believe, in 2002. So it'll be interesting to see how the White House responds. The White House is even being dragged into this scandal. So we'll see what President Obama decides. Speaking of the White House, people who may want to move into the White House, Jeb Bush, you know, is a Republican candidate. He's announced for the White House, so we can go for a three-peat with the Bush family. In an interview, he recently said, or a speech, that in order to keep the economy moving, Americans need to work a little bit more. 1-855-525-5685. Just in case you're not working enough, what do you think about that?
I guess I'm not working enough.
I'm just being to add another 8 hours?
I think I need to work 16 full hours a day and not see my children at all. That's sad. And it goes back to the list of people. That bothers me because that's telling me that we're lazy again. This whole entire country that is built on hard work and dedication is strictly lazy. But I wonder this. If Donald Trump can sit here and build a big wall and Jeb Bush wants to make us work another 8-9 hours, I am so scared about what Hillary wants to do in a minute. Or even who am I missing? There's a lot of other people that's running for office.
Marco Rubio, Ted Cruz.
Yes. Marco Rubio.
Bernie Sanders over on the Democratic side.
Ben Carson. These people, what are they saying? What at Chris Christie? I mean, what is these people saying now? Are we going to sit here and lift up another building just for them to get in? You know, those are scary things we're hearing from these people coming out there.
We need to work a little bit more. When, you know, Americans work more than any other citizens in the world. I saw a study recently where our minimum wage is lower than any other industrialized nation, lower minimum wage, and we take less vacation. So I thought that was real interesting for him to suggest that we need to work just a little bit more.
I don't think we need to tell the people that work in industrial parks around the whole entire country that, because they're working 10 to 12 hours a day.
And driving trucks and teaching children and working in hospitals.
If we say that, we're going to really have a war up on our hands in a minute.
While we're on the subject of jobs, we had hoped to have Dr. Lance join us. He is a native of St. Louis and now works in Silicon Valley, has done well, and is one of the organizers of an upcoming event in Ferguson, Missouri called the Ferguson 1000. An event, and that is, and I'm putting it simplistically, a job fair to connect those who need jobs with those who have jobs. And it is in the weeks leading up to the 1 year death anniversary of Michael Brown, August 9th, of course, 2014. Who can forget that Saturday around noon when 17-18-year-old was shot by a Ferguson police officer with his hands in the air. Numerous witnesses testified to that. Well, we are just weeks away from that observance. And in St. Louis and the Ferguson area, they're trying to make something positive out of the tragedy. So Dr. Lance, not with us today, but we certainly hope that we will have him with us next week. So make sure you join us next week in the Village. DiCarlo, we're glad you're with us.
Thank you.
Glad you could join us. Tell everybody about your radio show.
Yes, it is called Ear Hustle with DiCarlo Collins.
Ear Hustle. That means we're listening in. Is that right?
That means you're listening in. And you can check it out this September. It will be coming back on air. Plus, you can also go to my Twitter account. It is @DiCarlo_Collins. And also check out my Facebook page.
I love your Facebook posts.
And it's just me, DiCarlo Collins. It is an actual open Facebook page for anybody to join in. We talk about everything that's important to us in our community and as well as our lives. So just have fun with me.
All right. And are you going to knock off the stress eating with those Pillsbury cookies at 9 o'clock?
No. As much as I write, no, I can't.
We'll add some Hostess cupcakes. I'll come over and join you.
Hey, that'll work.
Stick with us in the Village, everybody. We will be right back.
Start your day the correct way.
Cedric Hatcher from Birmingham, Alabama. You went to City Hall. Tell us about why, how you ended up at City Hall and what that was all about.
I go down there every 2 weeks with this particular speech. Come out and put it on YouTube. Yeah. It kind of went Viagra, whatever y'all call it, Viru, Batman, whatever. You know what I mean? I'm not too much into all that kind of stuff either. You know what I mean? I'm too busy.
The J.C. Loves Morning Show.
Look, if one don't make me get happy,
you make me happy.
He had power.
Yeah.
He's a dead with his power. If he made the one with this blood stop bleeding with his power. power. He made the blind man see with his power.
You on fire this morning, man. We appreciate you. Keep the fire going there in Birmingham, okay?
No, Arkansas.
All right, take care.
God bless y'all. Stay blessed.
You got it. The Joy Network.
Hey, Glenn.
Well, you can tell that Chip over there is getting ready for the old family vacation.
Yeah.
He's pulling out the boat, airing the tents, checking gear, getting everything packed.
Yeah, we're about to head out on our vacation, too.
But you're sitting here drinking tea, surveying your domain from that lawn chair.
Yeah, buddy.
So, are you really about to leave on a vacation?
Yep, right here in Arkansas to enjoy our great state parks.
Why aren't you getting your gear together?
Because we rent it in the state parks. Instant vacation. No hassles before we go and none after we get back.
Rent?
Yep, the state parks have ski boats, party barges, fishing boats, kayaks, canoes. They even have RVs and tents already set up, plus the cabins and more.
RVs?
Just go to ArkansasStateParks.com. It's all there.
Instant vacation sounds like a perfect vacation.
Yeah, it will be if you mow my lawn while I'm gone.
Well, sure.
Sponsored by this station, the Arkansas Broadcasters Association, and your Arkansas State Parks. My park, your park, our parks.
Your boat is a piece of junk.
Yeah, but they don't make them like this anymore.
Gee, I wonder why.
What?
You know, we could have rented a nice boat or a party barge right here at the park.
Huh? Rent?
Yeah, and your tent is moldy, too.
Moldy? What are you, the boat and tent police?
We could have stayed in one of the park yurts. You know, big, roomy tent already set up right on the lake.
Hmm.
Yeah, DeGray Lake Resort State Park has lots of things for rent.
Instant campsite, eh?
Why not? Or we could have stayed at the park. Lodge, enjoyed the restaurant, the heated pool.
Do I do anything right?
Well, yeah, you married my sister.
Now I remember why I let you in my boat.
So the next time we and the girls get together here at DeGray Lake Resort, you let me make the plans?
Plan away.
Well, if we ever get back to shore, I will. Online at DeGray.com.
Sponsored by this station, the Arkansas Broadcasters Association, and your Arkansas State Parks. My park, your park, our parks.
Welcome back to the Village Celebration. We started tonight's show with an interview. James Johnson, the president of the National Action Network in South Carolina, celebrating the removal of the Confederate flag from the state buildings in South Carolina. That has been a long time coming. You know, the entire country listened to President Obama when he delivered the eulogy at the service for the late state senator and the reverend at Emmanuel AME, who was gunned down by Dylan Roof, along with eight other church members. And so tonight, as we say goodbye, we want to replay some of the president's speech, because it is my opinion that that speech touched a lot of hearts and changed a lot of minds and helped pave the way for what happened today in South Carolina. I'm Vicki Newton, and we're glad you've been with us here in the Village.
Amazing grace. Amazing grace. Amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saves.
found that grace. Cynthia Hurd found that grace. Susie Jackson found that grace. Ethel Lance found that grace. The Payne Middleton doctor found that grace. Iwanza Sanders found that grace. Daniel L. Simmons Sr. found that grace. Sharonda Coleman Singleton found that grace. Myra Thompson found that grace. Through the example of their lives, they've now passed it on to us. May we find ourselves worthy of that precious and extraordinary gift. As long as our lives endure, may grace now lead them home. May God continue to shed his grace on the United States of America. Clementa Pinckney found that grace. Cynthia Hurd found that grace. Susie Jackson found that grace. Ethel Lance found that grace. Amazing grace. Amazing grace.